She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
I hate to tell you guys this. If you're just hearing this for the first time, you might want to sit down. I'm totally going off topic, and that's fine. That's the whole point of this book.
This is why we're not allowed to do this on our own every week.
Which I'm going to talk about the ending at the end. Bring fresh bloomers with you then.
Pulling out the cell phone, being like, I need a cleanup team.
Insert action lines here. Ka-chow! Ka-chow! Ka-chow!
What the heck's going on? What did I miss?
It's week two. The group chat unsupervised.
I'm back again.
All right, besties.
Time to be unhinged. Round two.
Dose. So this week we are talking about killers of a certain age.
You redeemed yourself, hag. You redeemed yourself, bitch.
This book came first, so if anything, I lifted you up to bring you down.
Yeah.
And let's not lie, I brought you more good books than I brought you more bad books.
Touche. Point taken.
You have not read Feral Kingdom. Not Feral Kingdom, what was the other? Hollow Kingdom yet. So You may really just unfriend me on Facebook and all the socials after that one.
Ooh. Adds to TBR. Yeah.
It's Hollow Kingdom. Liv's reading it right now. Is the apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
Through the point of view of a crow who was raised by a human who is now raising a dog and using the dog to get through the apocalypse.
Yeah, I'm not putting that on my TBR. Fuck that shit.
What? No, it's amazing. It's what? Funny. It's if Will Wheaton didn't become a trash bag of a human and wrote narrative from a crow's POV.
I'm going to stick with my fantasy.
This is why I'm a mood reader and you're not.
I am into a really dirty series about it's like kind of based on the Greek gods. The Neon Gods series. It's called Neon Gods by Kane Roberts.
Yeah.
Ooh, the is third one is a threesome. It made me blush.
You.
I know. I was like,
you blush.
Oh, I can't have my kids seeing me read this. So,
clutch my pearls. Clutch
them, but let me get the next page, sissy. Yeah. Oh, it was.
Next page.
Yes.
Page.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I just went ahead and requested the next one from the library, too.
So I've heard good things about Neon Gods.
Yeah.
That's been out for a while, though.
It has. She's got like six or eight books in the Neon Gods series. And then there's spinoffs based on other characters. So, and
super smutty.
Oh, yeah. But good stories, too. Like, really good stories, too. Like, you get emotionally invested in these characters because they're all like Olympus gods. So, they're all together. So, it's like family drama and
so
this brother doing this.
Mm-hmm. Like Olivia Dade or Jeffrey Bouillard. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, you could read one out of order. But, and it would still make sense. Like, they're standalones, but it's all in the same world, and they're
nice.
Really good. Really, really, really good. Yeah. So, yeah.
I am currently listening to the second in the Shadow and Bone series.
Ugh. Love Shadow
and Bone. Matt and I are reading those together. April's been pushing me for a long time to read it. She's like, you're going to love
it's
it.
It's so good.
You're going to love it. And I just didn't want to dedicate my time to a series because
once
you start a series, you're not going to want to do anything else other than that series. So I was just like, I don't have the time. So I made
I DNF'd, though, the second Six of Crows. Which I cannot tell you the last time I've DNF'd a book. Like, I really stick with books, as evidenced by last week. But I just could not. And I loved Shadow and Bone, and I loved Six of Crows, too. But just couldn't the second one. So I think if I go back to that universe, I'm going to just not read that one and go read the other two, because April now, said those were her favorites.
Six of Crows is a part of that series?
It's in that universe. So the things that are happening in the Grishaverse
affect what happens in Six of Crows.
Yep. It's like they're on, it's the same timelines, but gotcha. Which in the show, which I loved the show.
Really?
Yeah. Like they're intertwined.
I heard people were on the fence.
And like, I think you either love it or you hate it. Yeah. Yeah. But no, like in the show, they intertwine the two stories, but in the books, they're completely
So I should read
worlds.
All the books before I touch the show then?
I would read, well, no, because the first book follows the first season, second book follows the second season, and the third season.
So
happening.
I would be good if I popped into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've heard mixed reviews about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. God damn it.
Sorry.
Not your fault. I'll find it.
Okay.
I don't know where we are. That's fine. When we get back to it, you want to talk about this book until like,
figure
out where
you are? I do. I really liked this book.
I really liked this book. So I read this book off pod before we started, but I insisted you guys read this. It is Killers of a Certain Age. If you have not seen this book, I don't know where you've been, living under a fucking rock. It is everywhere. It is on all the socials.
Yeah.
Your mom's going to like this book. Matt read this book. Your dad's going to, everybody you know is going to like this goddamn book. It is so good. It's not that it's like generally like, oh, it's just super bland and everyone's going to like it. No, it is good writing. It's smart writing. It's funny writing.
It's good chapstick that you can loan to your kids and your mom for your brain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it.
It's like lessons in chemistry. Remember
yes. how good lessons like in chemistry, lessons in chemistry. Yeah.
Good like House of the Cerulean Sea. Oh, it has a it's a commercial novel.
Yes.
It is it's peak commercial fiction.
So good.
I believe they're already talking about turning it into a movie.
I'm
which
here
is
for that.
Zero surprising.
Yeah.
How about a summary? Synopsis.
Yes, please.
Synopsis. To any onlookers, Billy, Mary Alice, Helen, and Natalie probably look like four grannies enjoying a luxury cruise. Little do the other passengers know they are in the presence of the Sphinxes, the museum's first female all-assassin group. This trip is a retirement gift from the museum after 40 years of service. One last big adventure for the women before they enjoy their golden years. However, like any good spy novel, things go wrong fast. But the women know what... Okay, I totally suck at writing. But they... These women know exactly what to do. They spring into action and go into hiding.
Yes.
Someone wants the Sphinxes dead. Is it the museum? Is it another spy? We follow the ladies as they travel to NOLA, their original, you know, training facility in the UK, all over the world pretty much.
Yes.
And well, it feels like that anyways. It's told from two POVs, past and present, mm-hmm. all Billy's POV, grab a parachute, and let's jump in.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay. So I have her thing right here. I'm going to pull it up because I can't believe we never had her talked about. Deanne Rayborn is
like
new
26
to pod.
Books.
Yeah. She has four other series and 26 books, all mystery / and romance with female leads. Do you like her? Will you read her again?
Yes and yes. Yeah.
Okay, so her series. She has the Veronica Speedwell mysteries. These look interesting to me. There's nine books in this series. They're definitely historical fiction. They have that historical fiction vibe. Then the next one is the Lady Julie Gray mystery series. That has nine books. That looks like a redback paper store, grocery store, grandma buying book. Like
pass
those
on that
were
one.
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, we'd have to see. And then she has another series called The 1920s Adventures. I don't know if they're all together or if they're like standalones. There is five of those. She has one series called Gothic, The Dead Traveler. The Dead Travel Fast is the title.
That one sounds cool.
And then she's got two others called The Mystery Writer's American Cookbook and Scribbling Women, The Real Life Romance Heroes Who Love Them. So 26 novels. This is her first big commercial push.
Get it, girl.
What do you think of her? Her writing, her style.
Loved the voices. Loved the character development. Loved the twists. Loved the turns. Loved the world building and all the different locations they went to. Really, really, really enjoyed this book. Really enjoyed this book.
Yeah. It was well thought out. It was well written.
Good. Yeah.
It was a book that someone took their time on.
Yeah. Yep.
You will hear me complain. You've heard me complain on this pod 100 times about how you can tell when an author is either rushing, an editor's rushing. Mm-hmm. You can tell when the pages aren't finished.
Yeah.
And this is a preened, pristine, mm-hmm. finished book. This novel was combed over, thought about. Like, I don't know how long this woman sat with this book, but she has been sitting with it for years.
It's like the most perfectly gift-wrapped present that you got from the mall, where it was, like, folded so perfectly, and the bow was perfect, and you, like, didn't want them to open it because it was so perfect, but then you wanted them to open it.
Because it's a beautiful sweater inside. Beautiful sweater that they folded perfectly, and you know very well it's going to fit them well, and they're going to love it. But if they open it, then they're never going to be able to be surprised by that book, that sweater again.
But they're still going to love that sweater, and they're probably going to look at that sweater again and again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But for some reason, ugh. So the bad. Author's note has two notes at the beginning and the end of the book. I'm going to read the beginning one, but not the end.
Yep.
Sorry. Some of the dates are misleading. Some of the names are lies. I'm not trying to protect the innocent. I'm trying to protect the guilty. You'll understand soon enough. Cute.
Loved it. Super cute. And then the more that I read it, I was like, I freaking love that.
And then I was like, okay. And then in the audiobook, by the way, the audiobook narrator, I'll look that up in a minute, but the audiobook narrator was perfect. Her voice was perfect. She really nailed Billy. Like, she really nailed Billy. But then at the end, like, the audiobook kind of just, you know, and how they're like, this is audible at the end or something.
Oh,
I was waiting for that. And that's when you get the little tittle bit at the end from them. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Most spy novels feature male young leads who are handsome and or wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't British men. This isn't like some 007 bullshit.
Right.
This is different because we're not starting in the beginning or the middle of their careers, but at the end.
Yeah.
What do you think of the choices that she made as an author to make our leads retirees?
I loved it. So the older I get and the more I get in my career, all of the other nurse practitioners that I work with and PAs call me mom. Like, I am the mom. I am the one that has all the shit in my purse. I am the one that has all the shit in
your Reina?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I have, like, everything in my top drawer.
No, you're not.
Like,
you're not Reina.
No. Yeah. but anywho, like, I identified with these women more where you're sick of a lot of people's shit.
Yep.
You just want to be done. You've worked really hard and you just want to take a fucking cruise. And then some asshole's going to come and try to off you.
For no reason.
And you're
for
just
no
like,
reason.
Fuck this shit. I just want to go on vacation. So I really, really liked that these were older women. I loved the fact that there was a menopause app and a period app because that was so brilliant.
Right. Because
so unbelievably brilliant. Because they wouldn't. Like, they wouldn't. They would be like, periods. Ooh. Yeah.
I'm a mood reader. I like all genres. Yeah. So I'm sure they're out there, the granny spy novels.
Yeah.
But they're not this.
Yeah.
And I mean that, and I don't mean that in offense to any granny spy novels. I'm just assuming 95% of them are like, oh, You know, like the granny from like Tweety Bird. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's how they make them in those.
That kicks this ass.
Right. This is more of a realistic older woman trying to live her golden years.
So I didn't read this as a granny spy. I read this as a kick-ass, grown-ass woman. You know what I mean?
They're like early 60s.
Yeah.
They're early 60s. So they are got 10, 15 years on us.
Easily. Yeah.
Easily. That's it. And it's just, it's wild. It definitely takes the spy genre and changes it.
Yes.
Changes it for me as a reader. Because if this was another male spy novel, I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't care.
I don't want to read about four dudes at this age.
No, I don't.
Not even a little
bit. Mediocre white men.
Mediocre white men. Yeah.
If April was here, I don't know what she'd say. I think she would classify this as historical fiction, but I truly want to shove this in a spine mystery novel.
Yeah, that's where I would put it.
Genre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's your opinion?
That's my opinion,
The reason I think April would, because of the dual timelines, and as much as we go back to the past in here, I really think April would lean more towards historical fiction, especially since that's the author's preferred genre.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that would be a big argument.
I feel more comfortable putting it in mystery, though. I honestly do.
I do, too.
If thriller, I was looking at it in Barnes & Noble, I would look in the mystery section.
Yeah. If I was looking for this, I'd be in the thriller mysteries. Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy, Mary, Alice, Helen, and Natalie were strangers when they met. But now are the best of friends. The museum took these four young women and turned them into beautiful killing machines. We've seen the Black Widow trope time and again. What did you think of this time?
Fucking loved it. The opening scene when they are on the airplane and they are these four little stewardesses who then poison, and then Billy freaking slits the guy's throat.
And he's just bleeding
blood everywhere. And then they take the parachutes and then they jump off the plane. Like, I was like, I am so here for this, because every little girl has a time where they want to be a spy. You want to be a princess. You want to be a spy. Yep. Like, so all of that, I was like, oh my God, I want this job. Like,
well, okay. So in that scene, I'm glad you brought that scene up. In that scene, there's this moment. And okay, this is maybe my mental illness peeking out. but Billy is, Billy has this moment where she's in the parachute, right? And she's coming down and she goes, this is really soothing. I could not pull the shoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I go, who hasn't had that thought?
Exactly.
I just keep driving straight.
Just drive right off this cliff.
Just what's going to happen? Then last minute. Like we all as women have had that inner thought, like,
yeah,
I could say fuck it and just die here. It's fine.
Or not. Yeah.
It's little moments in this book like that where I'm like, she still made them people. That was the moments where these characters were human, right?
Yeah.
She slowly developed each character. It wasn't just, it was a spy novel. It's not just that there's a shit ton of action and that this book has a great pace. It keeps up. It is also, these characters are well thought of. These relationships are great.
And I think that's what a lot of prompted me to want to read more by her is the way she developed these characters in this world. Like, if she does, if she, and I'm guessing she probably does do this because this is not her first novel.
No.
And it did do so successfully. If she can, if she writes like that otherwise, like, I would love to read more by her based on this book.
Seriously, anything based on this book, I would read. Yeah. I'd read her grocery list, honestly. Like, she is definitely talented.
Yeah, really liked her. Yeah.
Yeah. The author makes a point in this book to show that the only people in this world we can truly trust are women. For example, Minka and Aika? Aiko? Aiko?
I said it Akayo?
Aiko. In my head. I don't know. It's, it's one of the girls' wives. Natalie's wife?
Natalie or Mary Alice?
Mary Alice's wife. It's one of the girls' wives.
Yeah.
And we meet them in Nola, where Billy had a secret house, where we meet Minka, where she... Mm-hmm. We don't ever get really an explanation about Minka. She's just kind of there.
I'm okay with that, though. I feel like she's just this Slovakian chick that Billy's like, she's fine. Just trust me.
Honestly, in the back of my head, Billy, this is the story I created for this. I'm totally going off topic, and that's fine. That's the whole point of this book, the series, this show, what we do here. Oh, my God.
Sure.
Anyways, the whole point of this podcast. So in the back of my mind, this is what my brain created because I'm a fucking writer. Billy was on a mission, probably a solo mission. Mm-hmm. In, you know, because that child's a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. So she was probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago on a mission. She saw some kid alone on the street. Mm-hmm. And the kid tried to pick her pocket. And she yelled at that kid. And that kid's like, eh, I've seen worse, and walks mm-hmm. away. And she's like, oh, I like you. And just took her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, Billy 100% just took that kid in.
Yeah.
And just made her hers. And they didn't talk about it. It just happened. And the next thing you know, they live together. And she's Minka's mom without being Minka's mom.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And I'm sure, like, the author has a much better detailed, like, we'll get a story later. Like, I really hope there's, like, some background.
A Minka book.
A Minka book or something. Yeah. It's just, but Minka's this beautiful, brilliant character. I totally went off topic.
That's all right. I liked Minka's character. I really wanted there to be more. So when they first introduced her as, like, when she called her to say, hey, get me papers, I was like, oh, cool. And then when they brought her in, I was like, oh, yay. I really wanted this because I was seeing, like, severe blonde ponytail, completely inappropriate outfits, but like this is up. It's a menopause. They will not look like just very thick accent.
That was
like,
the accent we got in the book. This. Too.
Yeah,
that was the accent we got in the book.
Good.
Why you question me? Do you not exactly?
Exactly. But here for it. Yeah,
I'm here for it. But I like the trope.
Yes,
I do too.
Yeah.
I like the trope that this is women sticking together, right?
Yes,
that was the premise of this is we can only trust who's in our circle kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it really progresses the book forward like in a way I'm doing a bad job at potting right now.
No, you're fine. Like I get it. It like the way that these relationships were together and especially like at one point they are meeting in New Orleans and Natalie chokes and Billy doesn't call her out on her bullshit to the front of to everybody else because she knows like shit something is going on and like that's what you have with older women friendships is like you're not gonna call somebody out on their bullshit if it's gonna dull their like, flame if, you know what I mean like you're, that's when you're us, at that point in your life where you're like hey you screwed up but let's talk about it
but like if the three of us like if there was a big blowout between the three of us it wouldn't be this huge hubbub like if we were teenagers it would be a couple weeks of silence then all of us going hey we should talk about what happened
and problem solve too and I think that's why I liked it because Billy was like okay this was a problem let's solve the problem not like oh my god you didn't pull your own weight like it's just that maturity of women like
and she knows I mean let's not lie the reason she hesitated her life is in shambles her husband died everything she knew was gone.
Yeah,
and she's like, she does not know if she wants to do this anymore. And the fact that they were retiring meant she could get out of this. And now you're telling me,
there was a lot of conflict there, I think, with Natalie that they didn't get into as much. Like, she was literally the only one that had a spouse that had died. And, like, that's a huge – so she's having – massive life changes between career ending and spouse dying. Like those are two huge things. And I think she was going through a lot more than they gave her credit
because,
for.
Like, and the fact that like she got out of bed even to go on this cruise is huge for her.
It's huge. Yeah.
And Honestly, this book, the more I think about this book and the more we talk about it, I really hope they turn this into a series, like on Max, Netflix, something, instead of a movie, because there's so much depth here beyond the pages.
Yeah, you could get so many, you could get a perspective from all of the four mains, and it would be so good.
It would be. It really would. Like, hear me out. We could make Billy Geneva Davis.
I have no idea who that is.
League of Her Own.
Gina Davis.
Gina Davis. Shut up.
Okay, that's not who I saw, but go ahead. Who else do you think?
Okay, Gina Davis. Okay, and then I know she's in her young 50s, but I want Kerry Washington from Scandal to play Natalie.
Yep, I'm here for that.
Like, she's got that femme fatale thing going, right? She looks younger than she is. And then I don't have anybody from there. They're the two that I have in my head.
So I want Helen Mirren as Billy.
Ooh, but Billy
she's not British, though. Yeah,
Billy is a good old country girl.
Yes.
Oh, you know who? Okay, the actress that plays Sheldon's mom in Big Bang. And she's from Roseanne and all those. She would be a good Billy.
Oh, see, I don't think so. I don't think she's.
She's a character actress. Yeah, she's a character actress.
It's not here for me. Andy McDowell, somewhere in there.
Andy McDowell's a good choice.
Yeah, I think maybe
the crew.
And then can't remember who this lady is. Hold on, I kept thinking of her too. Hold on. What is her name?
Andy McDowell would be good.
Anywho, there was this super. She's been in a bunch of things. She's British too, and I was like, oh, she would be great too.
I think throwing Cyndi Lauper likes to do random stuff. So I really think this kind of movie show would be fun to just throw Cyndi Lauper in because it's her generation, right? That's her age group, so I'd really like to
she could
her
be
in
the wife. Yeah, I would say wife. And I want someone who is like bombshell as Minka. Like Margot Robbie, somebody
well,
like. You
gotta be young, though. Like,
yes, young, young. Like, yeah.
Sabrina Carpenter would be a perfect Minka.
Perfect, yes.
Sabrina Carpenter would be a perfect Minka.
Yes.
As long as she can do, like, an accent.
The right accent.
Definitely gotta get back on track.
Okay, super. This is why we're not allowed to do this on our own every week.
The museum has created. The museum was created originally to hunt Nazis. But now, as the years have gone by, that really isn't a thing anymore. I mean, they're collecting memorabilia and trying to find stuff, but the Nazis are all dead. God, I hope they all are dead. Well, the original Nazis.
The original Nazis.
There's still fucking Nazis in the world. Yeah. I hate to tell you guys this. If you're just hearing this for the first time, you might want to sit down. There's still Nazis today.
Word.
But do you think, like, ladies, the museum should have been shut down?
No, like, heck no. So, like,
it's run its course.
I know that they started, like, as the Nazis, but there are so many, like, bad people in the world that, like, the fact that they were taking down, like, human traffickers, drug dealers, like, just bad people. That's what I was like, I'm here for this. Take down the bad people. Yeah. No, right. I think they would always have a clientele, unfortunately, in this day and age. Yeah.
Right. But the problem is who decides that, right? We're playing
the
God here.
Yeah.
You know, we're playing God here, and that line gets muddy for me.
I think a lot
I'm a
of
chaotic,
it.
I'm a lawful chaotic, so... Yeah. I like a little chaos, but I still need rules.
But I think, like, a lot of it is,
I don't know if that makes sense.
The picture, the Sheba picture.
Uh-huh.
Like, where she's normally depicted as submissive and all of these other things. And then, like, in this one painting that they're working for, she's depicted as, like, you know, a badass or whatever.
She
and
is a fucking badass.
Yeah, I think that speaks more to, like... that there are still bad people. It's just mm-hmm. how it's the picture is viewed, kind right. of thing. Like
it's a lens.
There was like some see, dual.
There's your symbolism.
See, you get symbolism. I got symbolism.
You get fucking symbolism. I'm
when it's not
that
some
anymore.
Weird ass chick in a freaking stinky coat. God.
Leaking pink blood.
Leaking pink. What's going on? Okay. Anywho, back to the good book. Yeah.
Okay. There was one point. I struggled with realism in this book for one point. You're telling me women of this age
yeah.
can travel all yeah. over the world.
Yeah.
No problem. And be healthy as a horse and be fine.
Listen,
get fucked.
I struggle with
a day's travel from here to New York. So
you take that bell and you shove it where the sun don't shine, girl. I have seen 60 plus women. I would not put it past them to do shit like this. I have a patient. She comes in every 2 weeks for IV chemotherapy. She's been on this regimen for like 4 years. She has metastatic disease. She can run circles around me. Literal. She is in the best shape of her life. And she just, that was her norm. She always trained. She always took care of herself physically. Like, if your body's in that pattern, which they have been since they were in their 20s, hell yeah, I think they could have it. Like, when I saw that question, I was like, oh, no.
Molly.
Like,
but you know they're slowing down. You
but they
mean?
Acknowledge
they
that, like right. they acknowledge oh, they, that, like her knees really... hurt. Yeah.
yeah, yeah. They definitely talk about it a lot, like when she's killing somebody and she's like killing him, like she's choking him or something, or she's putting her knee on him. I can't remember how she's killing him, but she's using her physical body, and she's like, "God, this was easier a couple of years ago." Like, physically, like there are times where she makes it realistic, but at the same time, I'm like, "Come on." You're not going to give them a little lag from the travel. Come on.
I mean, the one that got me more than anything was how much they drank.
Like, yes!
You would not be able to drink that much and be in that that good of a physical shape. That's where I got, like, the realism where I was like, this is not real.
Like,
you can't drink
it.
3 bottles of wine and then go murder somebody the next day.
I don't know.
On a 60-year-old liver, so.
I'm guessing they can. there is so many twists in this book.
So many, but
so many
good.
Twists.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out what twist / location, because each location kind of came with its new twist and turn, right?
Yeah.
Every, like, when we got to Nola, we got Natalia? Natalie? No, not Natalie.
Minka?
I'm sober. Minka. Fucking hell. I'm glad you're enjoying this.
Minka. We got Minka and Nola.
We got Minka and Nola. And then, you know, the wife joined us and the cat. Mm-hmm. And, like, they started slowly. Kevin. And then we found out that not Mary and her husband. One of the girls and their husband bought the castle. Like,
Natalie.
We really... Dude, I've read a lot of books lately. They bought this castle and, like, saved it from disarray, pretty much. So, was there any twists, location, anything in this book you were like, oh my god, this is amazing, this is my favorite part?
So, I really liked when they went back to England to where they were trained. I really liked that because it kind of came full circle.
Yeah.
But then it also made them like the woman, the Halliday woman that like trained them, like the original older badass woman. Like, I think they were able to pull from her spirit and the nostalgia and all of that when they were there and really be like, fuck this shit. We are not going down without a fight.
No.
Like, just being in that area where they learned those things, I feel like they really thrived there. So that was my favorite setting.
Me too. Like, it made it, even though it was in disarray, even though it seemed disheveled, it was home for them in a way they couldn't explain. And they became more of a team at that location. They became more connected.
Cohesive.
Yes. I'm glad you brought up Holiday. I didn't write a note about her, but let's talk about her.
Yeah.
Holiday is one of the first females in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother was like one of the original board members.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her whole team, her first all-female team. Yeah. And she wasn't really going to take another female team. But Billy and these other women came along and she trained them and turned them into what has to be one of the best killing teams I've read in a long time. There is a story here of passing the torch from one generation to the next, with going with Minka and then eventually, who do we see at the end? What is that chick's name?
Naomi.
Yeah. And there is this conversation about passing the torch, which I'm going to talk about the ending at the end, but what do you think the point or the process of this was like for the author of getting us to that?
Yeah.
What kind of story do you think she was trying to say?
Oh my God. So I liked how it was multi-generational, how we had Halliday in the 40s with the Nazis.
Yeah.
And then we had Billy and Natalie and Mary Alice in the 70s. And then now we're seeing them in the aughts and the 20s. With Minka. With like this, just this continuedness and going back reflective on the art that they keep talking about. All of this art was so reflective of female empowerment and empowered women empower women. So I liked that that's what they were showing, was these badass chicks going forward, doing big things, but then showing the next generation how to do it. And I really felt like that was a good theme that the author brought forward. I really liked it.
This is such a great way to bring the feminist lens into commercial fiction.
Agreed.
Without shoving it down people's throats, right? This is a feminist book.
Yep.
My husband read it and had no idea. Men will read this book and have no idea they are reading something from the feminist agenda. So scary.
So much like trauma and poor me's, and I'm looking at you, Colleen Hoover, out there. When you have when you have a book like this that comes along and you're like, shit, yeah, these are badass women's. And they had complex relations with each other. They had complex relations with their spouses and their lovers. And they still were very real. And it was just
like
refreshing.
I said, this is a thought out book.
So
this
good.
This woman took the time to think about, this is Deb's level writing. There is notebooks with these characters' backstories. There is notebooks. There's pages somewhere where Kevin has a backstory, right? They found him in a trash can outside their favorite lesbian bar after a game of softball or some stupid shit. You know what I mean? Like, we have all these backstories somewhere. This woman knows these characters in her heart and soul.
Yep. And she did a very good job of sharing them with us.
Yes, because she could have just dumped 600 plus pages out of trash and garble. And this is a very thought out, very concise novel.
Mm-hmm. Loved it. Loved the pacing of this book.
Yes.
So good.
So the pacing is so good of this book. And let's get to the ending, actually. I'm really fast today, but that's okay. the ending was spectacular. We go... Yes. We're everywhere, okay? We're going to this auction, right?
Mm-hmm.
The women have set up this big trap. Mm-hmm. They know what's going on, but we don't. They're actually keeping us, the reader, out of the loop a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun, because you kind of know what's going on, but you kind of don't.
Like, I was flipping back, though. Like,
I was
I missed something?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I was like, what's going on? What did I miss? Yeah.
These women, spoilers, these women have convinced the guys from the museum that they've won.
Yep.
That they have caught them, that they're about to kill them. Uh-oh. And these men who are so egotistical are like, I'm going to take you back where you belong. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, let's finish this where it started kind of thing.
Yeah.
Stupid men lines that they say in fucking action films. Go. insert action lines here. Ka-chow! 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 Anyway, I know. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I told you I didn't take my meds today.
Focus, Molly.
So,
where was I?
So,
the ending.
The ending. So he's transporting Billy and her people back to the house, the castle, mm-hmm. right?
The castle.
Back to mm-hmm. the Sphinx's lair, thinking he's won.
Mm-hmm.
And the women?
But he hasn't.
He hasn't. And the women overturn them. And
yep.
that's when she's talking about killing someone physically. And she's yes. talking about how much it hurts. So they succeed, right? The good guys win, the bad guys lose. It isn't because of luck or something that just magically happened. These women took hard work and skill and won.
Yep.
And, of course, a very pretty pregnant Naomi just shows up out of nowhere at the end.
Love it.
Oh, I love yeah. it.
You know drinking the ginger ale. Like, love it.
I thought of Maya Rudolph in The Good Place. Yeah. The judge. You know what I mean? Like, oh, good job, guys. So glad you yeah. guys are done with that. Could you imagine Maya Rudolph?
Pulling out the cell phone being like, I need a cleanup team. Yeah.
All right, let's just get your but fucking then, like, over here.
Because of the heartburn that comes with pregnancy? Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. If you're going to shoot me, at least not kill the baby kind of thing, right? Like, it was,
right? Yeah.
It was so great. Like,
it's her third kid, so she's like out of fucks for pregnancy, like, for motherhood, all this fucking
all
shit.
Of it.
Now I got to deal with these dumbass boys. Yeah.
Right. She's like, everybody's trying to gain power, and I'm just trying to make a human here.
I'm Can growing eyeballs.
Stop. Can y'all just stop? And she just shows up, and the women are like, where the fuck have you been? You know? Right. Like, why the fuck didn't you help us before?
You knew all of this. And she's like,
you knew all of this.
Meh.
Meh. She's like, I knew you guys would take care of it. Like, she
You're fine.
Knew. She's like, I knew. Like, you guys practically yeah. raised me. It's fine. Like,
she's like that mom with everybody where you're like, I knew you'd figure it out. This is a lesson yeah, you have to learn.
She's the mom. Yeah. She's the mom that has the baby on her back at mm-hmm. the playground. She has mm-hmm. a kid on her tit and four running around, and one mm-hmm. falls on his back, and she's laying there like a turtle. And you look yep. over to her, and she's like, "Eh, he'll get up." Yeah. And like she goes back to the kid on her tit. You know,
all right, dust off. Yeah,
yeah. We all know her. She's tired yep. of everyone's shit.
Everybody's.
Yeah. Do you think these women are actually going to retire?
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, I think they are going to be like reinvigorated and the whole Sphinxes are going to be and they're going to be like the next generation of trainers. So
yeah, that's what I was like, hoping.
Yeah. Yeah.
My hope is that they reopen the house. Like yeah. instead yep. of Xavier School for Special Children, this
yes!
is like the Sphinx School for Special Black Widows.
Yes. Yes, and people
It'll
will talk about this
title.
All-girls school in England.
Right.
It totally won't be weird because there's so many, like, gender-specific schools in the UK
yeah.
that people will be like, yeah, she went to an all-girls university. It was no big deal. Did she? Or is she a spy? Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Right. Any final thoughts? Did you have a favorite character? Did I miss anything?
I liked Billy. She was definitely my favorite character. I really liked her. And then I really liked Minka. I really want more Minka.
I think Billy was a relatable character.
Yes.
As a lead. I love that she held herself close to the chest. Like, mm-hmm. we, even at the end of the book, we really didn't know Billy.
Right. Yeah.
And that was okay. Like, we didn't mm-hmm. have to know Billy. We didn't need to know Billy. It wasn't yeah. our job to know Billy. It was our job to understand what was going on and help them get mm-hmm. through this. That yep. was the book. And we weren't supposed to know Billy. And Billy doesn't want you to know her.
Yeah. Like, and that's kinda, okay.
That's yeah. okay. And I don't know. And I really think she's the only one that could have told us this story.
Yes, agreed.
We really couldn't have gotten this from any of the girl other women's point of views. It mm-hmm. wouldn't have been as whole.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, no, agreed. Would have been very different from Natalie's perspective with her husband, and it would have been very different with Mary Alice and Aiko, and then who's the fourth one? Helen. Helen with her.
Helen's the one that her husband died. Helen's husband. Oh, died.
Okay. So then Natalie's the one that sleeps around.
Yeah, Natalie's the one that's super fucking hot.
Yes. So like it just wouldn't have been the same. Yeah.
No. Natalie looks 40, but is like 60s. And she's that's the right. youngest yeah. of the group, too.
Yes. And Helen's the one that her husband died. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
I loved their four different distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. It truly made them separate characters.
Yes. Yep.
And in teams like this, you don't always get that in that kind of
yeah.
novel.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
It was great. It was much, much better than last week's. Much improved.
You know what? Bite me. No. They can't all be winners.
I'm aware. Yeah.
They can't all be winners. That's all I'm saying. Not every book is perfect.
Not every book is 5 stars. Yeah.
Tell me the last 2 books you've read that are perfect. Yeah, that's what I thought. No.
Yeah. I'm gonna need more time. Yeah.
So next week we have Divine Rivals. You can put the here, please, Tom. And then after that, where is it? Francesca Zappi is joining us, and she's gonna be reading with us the Gracier. I am so excited for her to read this book. I read this last year, and I can't wait to reread it, but this is so Chessie's speed. I cannot. Oh, what's the face?
I want to meet her so bad. I am so jealous that you guys get to hang out with her again. So jealous. I would fangirl so freaking hard.
We will get a Chessie meeting on the books. We have to.
Yeah, it would shit my pants.
Please don't. Please don't. Bring fresh bloomers with you then.
Fresh panties.
After that, we have Sign Here, and then after that is Argyle. We are, of course, prepping for Annapolis Book Fest, gang. Do not forget, that is in April the 27th, I want to say.
Yep. That sounds right. In April.
I can't do anything. I am terrible, Pod. No Pod for Momo. No more Pod for Momo.
It is the
27th. I want to say it's the 27th.
Yeah, it's the 27th because I go to Washington, D.C. the 25th. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But after, y'all know how to find us. Go to the Diddly Doos. April will be back next week. There will be structured content, I promise. A grown-up will be back. No we more hope. Of this.
It's fun, but it's not sustainable. This would fail if this was the model. So
I am grateful every day that she has brought you into my life, Katie.
Same.
Every day. So I want to thank you for helping me these last 2 weeks. It has been fun. Thank you for reading with us. Until next time, besties. Bye. Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of Molly and Katie, not those of anyone else. Today's book was Killers of a Certain Age by Deanna Rayborn. Your Book Besties are Molly Bix and April Watkins with special guest host Nurse Katie. Editing by Thomas Watkins and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Do not forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.